Praise the Lord. Thank you, Pastor Glenn. I really appreciate the amazing picture that you have painted. I want to first of all bring greetings to you in the name of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. I also want to bring greetings to you on behalf of your Christian brothers and sisters halfway across the world in India. My name is Rebecca Stanley. I live and work in India. I'm dressed up like this just to blend in today. But otherwise, I live there. I speak a different language. I'm visiting here in the United States, and it's such a joy to be with you all today and worship the Lord and join in praising Him. Thank you so much for the privilege and the opportunity to share about what God is doing in India, not just what India Gospel League is doing, but what God is doing in India. Before I go further, I'd like to share a brief video, and then I'll come back on and share a little bit more.
In South Asia today, millions of people need hope. The hope of the gospel to change everything. The hope of freedom from oppression and idolatry and desperate poverty. Since 1948, India Gospel League has been touching lives with the good news of Jesus Christ, then watching Him transform whole communities. In fact, IGL has planted over 70,000 churches since 1992, among those poor countryside villages that had no previous Christian witness. And our goal is to plant tens of thousands more, so that millions of people can experience the power and presence of God firsthand. That's why partnering with India Gospel League is an exciting way to get involved in Acts 1:8 ministry, beyond your hometown, beyond your own nation, to the very ends of the earth. There are four ways to get involved. Share Jesus with unreached villages. An estimated 400,000 communities still need their first church. Love kids in need, sponsoring and educating them for a better life. Care for the sick, with the compassion of Jesus extending medical care to those who can't afford it. Serve the poorest of the poor through economic development initiatives, clean water wells, literacy training, and more. All of this for God's glory in Jesus' name. All of this rooted in Scripture, patterned after the ministry of Christ Himself. All of this, a chance for you, your family, and even your church to be a part of something that will last forever. Touching lives, transforming communities.
Many years ago, back in the late 80s and early 90s, Pastor Jim Lyon, who served here, came to India for the very first time. And he was pastoring here at Fairview Church and visited India. And as a result of his visit and trip there, a church was planted in India and a life center was built. A church building was constructed where we still have the plaque, A Gift of Love from Friends at Fairview Church. You might be wondering what's happened to that church, what's happened to that church building. Today, there are over 100 believers in that community that gather not just once a week, but they come together every single day in that life center, in that church building, for skill training program, for education, for literacy, as it's used as a community resource center for women to come in and learn life skills and also vocational training skills. Over the last 15, 20 years, that life center has been a lighthouse in the community, transforming that community. Where there was once darkness, today there is light. Where there was once ignorance, today there is an awareness of the love and hope of Jesus Christ in that community. Where there was extreme poverty, today there is life through Jesus Christ. Where children were neglected, where women were suppressed and oppressed, today they are liberated and are experiencing the abundant life in Jesus Christ. All of that has been possible because of your obedience, because of your generosity, because of your support. And I want to say thank you right at the very beginning. Thank you for your love for the Lord. Thank you for your obedience. Thank you for your faithfulness in ensuring that the gospel reaches the ends of the earth. And that's what's happening in India today. That video that you just watched was made 2 years ago, and it said that there were 70,000 churches, but today there are over 90,000 churches in villages that are being reached for the very first time with the gospel message. Places where the name of Jesus had never been before are hearing about it for the very first time. I remember not too long ago being in a village, a tribal, remote tribal village. The pastor working in a neighboring village invited me to go along with him to this tribal village. So we trekked up and we went in. And even as we walked in, the headman came out and he greeted us, and we were sitting in the village square, and after pleasantries were done, he immediately asked me, "So why are you here? Nobody comes to visit us. Nobody cares about us. Why have you come to our village?" So between the pastor and I, we started sharing about the fact that we'd come to share about a God. And we started sharing the gospel with him, talking about Jesus and his death on the cross and redemption and so on and so forth. And somewhere in that message, I said to him, Jesus is a God who loves us. He is a God who sees us. He is alive. He can walk with you. He can talk with you. And the village headman put his hand out and he said, "Stop." He had tears in his eyes and he said, "Are you telling me that there is a God who sees me, who walks, who's alive?" I said, "Yes." He said, "How can I have this God in my life? How can I have this God for my people in my village? Tell me, what must I do? Should I go somewhere on a pilgrimage? Should I sacrifice something?" Immediately, the pastor and I said, "No, you don't have to do anything like that. You just have to pray, believe, and accept Jesus as the Lord and Savior of your life and follow him for the rest of your life." Immediately, he said, "I want to pray." And we prayed the prayer with him. And this was a long conversation. So it was towards the evening, and this was in the village square. So there were other people who gathered around and were listening in on this conversation. And seeing that the village headman had accepted Christ, had made this commitment, several people came forward that day and made a commitment to Christ and accepted him. 2 weeks later, the pastor kept going, and 2 weeks later, a church was planted in that village. We had 20 adult baptized believers in that tribal community that was hearing about Jesus for the very first time. And this is not just one isolated incident. There are testimonies after testimony where I can share of people, believers, new believers who are on fire for Christ, just going out and sharing their testimony. Women who are illiterate sometimes, who can't read and write, but are so filled with passion for Jesus that they go out and start sharing about him and find that they are planting a church. It's amazing. It's amazing. 90,000 churches. It seems like a huge number. And yet, as it was said in the video, over 400,000 villages are yet to hear the gospel for the very first time. Can you imagine that for a minute? 400,000 villages are yet to hear their gospel for the very first time. The Joshua Project, I'm not sure if you're familiar with that, but the Joshua Project kind of does a study of unreached people groups around the world, and particularly in the 1040 window where India is. And they say that there are over 6,000 unreached people groups where the gospel has never been. And a third of these unreached people groups are in India. Let me put it in another way. The greatest concentration of lostness on the planet is India. Not only are people walking in spiritual darkness in India, but there is all kinds of needs. There's all kinds of needs. Poverty is rampant in India. Yes, you hear about, you know, India's development. Yes, you hear about India's, you call a company for some kind of customer service, and on the other end you have somebody from India who's responding. So you must think, wow, India is developing. Yes, India is a player on the world stage, but that's only a very small percentage of the population that has access and opportunity to the outside world. But there are 70% of 1.3 billion people who are living in the shadows, who have no access to opportunities, education, literacy, healthcare, and so on. India is not only in spiritual darkness still, where there is a greatest concentration of lostness, India faces enormous needs. They estimate that there are over 18 million children on the streets, with 20% of them having no connection to their families at all. They estimate that 50,000 girls under the age of 14 are trafficked into the sex trade every single year in India alone. The needs are vast, the needs are growing. Not only are the needs great, not only is there a greatest concentration of lostness, but India, as we just saw, is where God is at work, definitely. Therefore, I want to turn your attention to this great nation. Despite thousands of years of Christian witness and missionary movement and so on, we are seeing people open and receptive to the gospel as never before in the history of that nation. But we talk about three missionary waves that came through India. The first wave was through Western missions, where we had people like great William Carey, who came to India and who did missions, and we had the missionary movements back in the 1800s and even 1600s. And then you have the second wave of Christian church development and church growth, which happened after British colonization in India, probably around the 40s and the 50s. Which, you know, still had influence, Western influence on the urban parts of India. But what is happening today is kind of the third wave of missions in India, which has no association or relation to any Western agency or missionary movements. The gospel is growing from the soil. It's by the indigenous people. It's amazing when you go into these villages, oftentimes you will hear people say, I had a dream, I saw this man called Jesus in my dream, and I have been going from one village to another asking who this Jesus is. Can you tell me about this Jesus? I remember there's one little boy who heard about Jesus for the first time through our Children's Gospel Club program. And he was so excited about his faith that he, you know, spent more time with the pastor and he learned the Bible verses and so on. And I was visiting his village with a team of Americans who are coming and helping us in a medical mission. And this boy was very eager to share something with me. So at the end of the tour that I was giving the team, I finally went to him and I asked him for his name. He said, my name is Prakash. And he said, and I asked him, Prakash, you seem to want to say something to me. What is it? And he said, I've accepted Jesus in my life. I said, how is that? He said, well, the pastor from the neighboring village came to our village and did the Children's Gospel Club program, very similar to a vacation Bible school program. And he said, I heard about Jesus for the first time in my life, and I gave my heart to Christ. I said, I went home and I shared it with my parents, but they were not very happy. They said, we have 330 million gods and goddesses. That's how many gods and goddesses there are in the Hindu religion. So we have all these gods and goddesses. Why do you have to go add another one to your list? Couldn't you pick someone from that list? And they said, you have to give up Jesus. You cannot follow him. But Prakash was only 13 at that time, and he said, no, I will follow Jesus. And he said to me, every Sunday I have to sneak out of the house to come to church. And when I go back, always I get beat up by my parents. But that hasn't stopped me from following Jesus because I know how much he loves me. By this time, of course, I was overwhelmed and I had tears in my eyes. And I said, Prakash, what have you done for Jesus since you accepted him? he quickly gathered up about 20 of his friends and he said, I've led 20 of them to Christ. And he said, I am the one who's been a Christian here for a long time, a Jesus follower here for a longer time. So I'm the Sunday school teacher here because I spent a lot of time with the pastor and I've learned, memorized the Bible verses and the songs and the stories and so on. So I'm the Sunday school teacher here. That's the kind of church growth we are seeing. In an untraditional way, God is moving. Unlike, you know, what we are used to, that somebody is called for ministry, they go to seminary, they get their education, they pick a place, and then they go and plant a church and they serve in that area. Or if it's cross-cultural missions, they're going to another country. Unlike those traditional ways, God is doing something so new in India today that we have to turn our attention to where he is working today. If there's one thing that I want to impress on your heart this morning, it is that God is working in India today. And we need to find a way to get ourselves in step with where he's working and what he is doing. If I said that in India, they would all say, Amen. Hallelujah. God is using people like Prakash to spread the kingdom. God is using illiterate women, people who cannot even read and write. There was this one woman who came to one of our teaching conferences. She was so excited, and she went up to my father, and he said, "Thank you for providing this teaching and training to us women. And because of your teaching and training, I've been able to plant 7 churches." My father was like, "How did you do that?" And she said, "Oh, it's very easy. Every morning I wake up, I start praying, and I ask the Holy Spirit to lead me to a particular person or to a particular village. And I take my Bible, I get ready, I take my Bible, and I walk out. And the Holy Spirit leads me to a person. And I can't read or write. So I go to the person, I open the Bible, and I ask him or her to read. And then I start praying again. And I ask the Holy Spirit to give me wisdom to share my testimony and to share what's been read out. And almost always, they have come to Christ. And that's how I've been able to plant 7 churches. God is using women, men, young people. This last April and May, I had the opportunity and the privilege to travel to some of the remote parts of India, into tribal villages. And what really encouraged me, and I felt so fulfilled to see that children who have gone through our children's program are now young people and have now recommitted their life to come and are filled with great passion to take the gospel further. Yes, India, there are lots of needs in India. People are yet to hear the gospel message on one hand, and yet on the other hand, God is doing a marvelous work in India today. What are the needs, you might ask? How can we as a church be part of this? As I shared, you know, the 90,000 churches that are being planted in India, are baby Christians. They're just coming to know about Jesus. And the biggest need that we face is to train, equip, and disciple these new believers. So I want to encourage you to pray that we will have the resources necessary to train and equip these new believers. I want to encourage you to pray for the children particularly, because the children that are coming to Christ are first generation literates. They are having a tremendous impact in India today. They're going out as little missionaries to their families, to their communities, sharing the gospel. And as I shared, many of them planting churches themselves. So I want to encourage you to pray that we will have the resources necessary, that we will have partners to come alongside these children and help them fulfill God's purpose for their lives. I want to encourage you to pray for the church in India today. As much as we have talked of church growth, as much as I have talked of church growth and the enormous numbers of people coming to the faith, we are also facing intense persecution at this time. Not too long ago, I was traveling to the United States. I was leaving my country, and I was detained at the immigration in India. I was pulled aside for being a Christian, and I was detained, I was interrogated. I was asked if I was into conversions. I was asked where I was working and what I was doing. And that's the way they are intimidating Christians. But every single Sunday, there isn't a single Sunday that goes by when we don't hear of church services being disrupted. You know, people would be gathering just like this, and we would have the fundamentalists just come in and start beating up people, disrupting the service, vandalizing the place. There isn't a single month that goes by when we don't hear of pastors or believers being killed because of their faith. We have a fundamentalist government at the center, at the federal state, and so the persecution is intensifying. It's becoming more and more widespread, and it is creating so many challenges for the church in India today. And yet, despite that, the church is growing. So I want to encourage you to come alongside your Christian brothers and sisters and pray for us. As I said, the church in India is new. It's a nascent church. It's growing, and it has all kinds of needs right now. And we need our Christian brothers and sisters here to help us at this time, to help pray, to help walk this journey with us, stand in the gap and encourage us. We need you. We need you. We need your help. And I want to encourage you, if God lays it on your heart, to come alongside us and help us and pray for us. There is a table in the back with sponsorship profiles. There you can come and help support kids. But you can also go on our website. It's IGLworld.org, and sign up for our prayer mail. We ask for nothing but prayer. We send out the prayer mail once every fortnight, and just giving you updates from the field. And so want to encourage you to join us in praying for the ministry of the India Gospel League, praying for the people of India, praying for the church in India, praying for the frontline workers, the church planters, the women, the new believers in India. Next year, our goal is to reach, enroll, and disciple 1 million children. And I want to encourage you to be thinking of that and praying for that as well. So these are big numbers, but our God is a great and big God. Anything is possible with him. So thank you so much for this opportunity. I have one more video that I'd like for you to watch. And with that, I'll conclude. Thank you.
Every child was created to be loved, to feel the warmth of a family, to grow up in a safe place with people who care, to enjoy the laughs and smiles of just being a kid, to dream about the future. And most of all, every child was created to experience the love of God firsthand, to know Jesus, and to enjoy a rich relationship with Him forever. You can help extend love like this to children all across South Asia. But how many can we help? How many can we love? 1 million more? Or 1,000? Even 100? How about just one to start? Would you like to love one more? Visit us at loveonemore.org.
Thank you very much.